Morning. Mother Church, in its infinite wisdom, knew how good our choir would be and wanted to give them as many opportunities as possible to sing the Gloria before having to knock it off for the summer. So we have feast piled upon feast at the end of the Easter season. And this is the last of them, the Feast of Corpus Christi, the Feast of the Body and Blood of Christ. While we rejoice over it, we also ought to think a little bit about what it means. And I do mean a little bit, in deference to the fact that while the air conditioner was turned on Thursday, it has not grown notably cooler in here. I will abbreviate the remarks a bit this morning. Thomas Aquinas, looking at the sacraments, trying to see what's common among them and what the threads are, make some sense of it, has a way of talking about each sacrament as having the sign in itself, the sign and the thing in itself. Three sort of levels of meaning. For the Eucharist, he says that the sign in itself is the bread and wine. It points to something, it signifies something, but there's no reality within it, at least not yet. Such with the offering of Melchizedek. We just heard all there is in the Tanakh about Melchizedek. Those couple of verses in Genesis and that one reference in Psalm 110, that's all there is until in the New Testament when the author of the letter to the Hebrews gets to it and makes a whole chapter out of it. But that's all there is about Melchizedek. The bread and wine that he brings out are offerings for God, peace offerings for Abraham, or a sign for us down the centuries somewhere. But there's nothing seriously more to them. Similarly, here in the Gospel, Jesus feeds the 5,000 with the bread and the fish. It's a miracle. It's a sign. It's pointing to something, but it doesn't contain a reality as yet. Then we get to the Eucharist. The Eucharist is sign and reality. As we heard in the second reading from Paul, when Christ sits at the Last Supper table, what he doesn't say is, this is a sign of, or when you look at this, remember, or something oblique like that. It says, this is my body. This is my blood. It's real. Believe it. It's here. This is both sign and reality. The reality is present and active in the sign. And that's a great miracle. And that's where most of our consideration of Corpus Christi stops. Where most of our consideration of the Eucharist stops, admiring the miracle of the presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And that's perfectly true, as far as it goes. But it's only two layers deep into Thomas's three-layer symbolism. It says the third layer is the reality itself. What is the reality itself if Christ is already present in the bread and the wine? The reality of itself, Thomas says, is the body of Christ. Us. You and me. We who are being transformed into the body of Christ by sharing in the body of Christ. That's the real miracle. If you stop and think about it, that makes sense. That's the real miracle. I mean, to turn bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ is a miracle. But not much more of a miracle than feeding 5,000 folks with five loaves of bread. The bread is just sort of sitting there waiting for somebody to do something to it. It doesn't actively resist you when you say, go be enough for those people or go be my body. On the other hand, to think that I am to become the body of Christ, good old-fashioned sinful me, with all my quirks, with all my limitations, with all my faults, that I am to be the body of Christ?
Now that's a miracle.
That you are to be the body of Christ. That's a miracle. And that we together, among us, are to be the body of Christ. This is the sum of a long string of miracles. And a miracle in itself. So what does it mean? That we who receive the body of Christ become the body of Christ. Because if we don't get to that, we're missing the larger part of the mystery. There's a reciprocal causality going on here. The Eucharist causes the church, and the church causes the Eucharist. The Eucharist would not happen if we did not gather here and recite the prayers over the bread and the wine. And we would not be the church, would not be the body of Christ, did we not share in the body of Christ. And all of our Eucharistic prayers reflect that. The question is, how do we reflect that in practice? What does it mean in our contentious, divided church that we are the body of Christ? What do we do differently because we are the body of Christ? Our history doesn't suggest that we back off the controversies. Back as far as the book of Acts, and they had knockdown, drag-out fights. I think we're expected to do the same. But what does it say to us about the attitude with which we go into those struggles and the attitude with which we come out of them, win or lose? What does it say about our internal relations in the church if we are the body of Christ? What does it say about the way we go about things in the world? What kind of world should we be trying to make? And how should we be trying to make it if we are the body of Christ? These are questions I will not dwell long in suggesting possible answers to, in deference to the heat and in deference to the fact that we have yet one more celebration this morning. But I pose them and ask you to take some nice, cool, convenient time and think about them. The sign alone, the bread and the wine. The sign and the reality, the body and blood of Christ in the Eucharist. The reality alone, us. What does that mean for who you are, who you're called to be?